Hampshire. But the people in the small group and individual market, they have a, there is a single-payer system because there's only one choice they have, because if you don't go by, if you're an individual out there in New Hampshire, if you don't go by the one policy that you have to buy, you get fined for doing that. It astonishes me that we're doing that to our own citizens. We're going to take a 29-year-old person in New Hampshire who's struggling, right? Maybe they've just gotten out of college. They've gotten student loans they're paying off. And we're saying, if you don't go up buy a product that's more expensive than it should be, and there's only one of them in the state, we're going to fine you. And it's not an insignificant amount of money.
Not only that, we've turned our IRS, our Internal Revenue Service, into a police agent, where they're supposed to be the enforcers, and they already intimidate us enough.
The one great thing about this, young people are pretty smart, and what they're doing, what the Affordable Care Act does, is it forces young, healthy people to pay a lot more care, and if they don't buy into this, it's going to fall flat on its face. But from a money standpoint, now, as long as Washington still prints it, it can limp along. But here's just to pass along to our listeners this morning: if you're a young person up there and you choose not to buy health insurance, you're going to get fined $95 in 2014 if we cannot get the president to delay the individual mandate, which I hope we can, because it should be. This rollout has been a disaster. So here's the IRS, and you're right, my palms get sweaty about April 1st when I start thinking about my taxes, is that they don't have, there's nothing in there to criminalize this. There's no misdemeanor or criminal penalty in the law. And the only way they can get the money is if you overpaid your taxes. So there really is nothing in the law that the IRS, there's no teeth in here, so that they can come after it. So if a young person doesn't, and they just wanted to wait and see if the IRS ever chased them down for the $95 next year, it'll never happen. So they'll figure that out pretty quickly. And the other thing that's so odd about this is that now, if this young person decides not to buy insurance and even pay the $95 fine, they can wait till they get sick. You can't be denied coverage. No pre-existing. You can just sign up then.
Wow. Well, Congressman Rowe, I do want to respect your time, but I was wondering if we could shift gears. One quick question first is, how can we help you with your bill as it gets rolled out?
Well, I think the thing you can do is to contact your congressman or congresswoman, whichever it may be, and ask them to sign on. We have almost 90 co-sponsors, and this has occurred very rapidly, obviously with all that's going on in D.C. right now. But we're going to try to get start pushing to get the bill through committee once we've gotten 120 co-sponsors, which I think will happen in the next couple of weeks. So anytime you see your congressman, senator, say, hey, I want you to look at Dr. Rowe's bill and sign up.
Great, great. That's wonderful. Now, just quick before we let you go, can you give us a quick synopsis of what's going on with the debt ceiling debt argument?
Wow. You would have to wait to the last to give me a hard question. Karen, we have, as you know, there are two things going on. One, by Thursday of this week or some point in time, this month, you'll hit a debt ceiling, the credit card limit, where the government has no more, or that's not totally true. Money comes in every day to the U.S. government. Money goes out. We are bringing in almost $250 billion a month. Interest payment per month is about $200 billion. So it's less than 10% of what we bring in every month is interest payment. We shouldn't default on the debt. I think that's an empty threat. But sooner or later, you do run out of money if you're in deficit spending. So it will come to a head at some point. I certainly didn't get sent to Washington, D.C. to shut the government down. But this is a much greater debate, Karen, that's going on in Washington. It's about the future of the country. We can't continue to spend. I was a mayor of Johnson City, Tennessee, and we never had one budget that didn't balance, it didn't have a surplus. And we got through this recession pretty well because we had a savings account. We had money in the bank, not money we owed, but money in the bank, a rainy day fund. Our federal government doesn't have that. And our plan is to, within 10 years or less, to balance the U.S. budget. And to do that, you have to rein spending in. Hopefully you hope the economy gets better and growth occurs. But if you look at the long-term spending of Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and interest on the national debt, those four things in less than 10 years will take up every dollar that the U.S. brings in if we don't do something. Everybody in Washington knows that. And they're afraid to make those hard decisions. Well, I'm not afraid to make those decisions. And that's what this great debate is about. The debt ceiling is about hopefully defunding or changing Obamacare, but it's part of a long-term debt issue problem. Along with Social Security, it's going to add massively to the debt in this country. The CBO's already said so. So I think we're going to, I don't think we'll default on the debt, number one. I think cooler heads will get in the room. How this bill ultimately looks, I don't know. I don't know whether the Senate will send us a bill. There have been several things. As you know, Susan Collins had an offer on the table, which Harry Reid turned down. And I might add for our listeners, this is a little frustrating to me, but the way a budget is passed each year is that, and don't get confused with a budget document and an appropriations process. The House appropriates money and sends it over to the Senate. If you look at the VA, you're going to hear about how veterans benefits are not going to be paid. We passed the Veterans Benefits and Military Construction Bill, Appropriations Bill, 421-4. It's sitting over in the Senate right now. The Department of Defense, sitting over in the Senate. Energy and Water, sitting over in the Senate. Homeland Security, sitting over in the Senate right now. Could be passed today and signed into law. So I think that, and Karen, I'll share with you one thing that happened to me Saturday before I flew home for a day that probably is, I've been there 5 years now. It's probably the most moving thing there's no question that it is since I've been there. I went to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier with an honor flight from Tennessee, my district here. Most of these men were. And one of those men survived the Indianapolis torpedoing.
Oh,
and remember, they were the
yeah.
ones that were left out in the sharks. He was one of the 300 that survived that. There were 38 of those men left. And I went out with him and three other veterans, and they're all of them about 90 years old, to lay a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier Saturday. And that man looked at me, and there he said, "Doc," he said, "you hang in there and do the right thing." And I'm thinking to myself, this is a man that went through a recession as a young boy, fought a world war, and he's telling me that to do the right. Let me tell you, it's not hard for me when a man like that looks me in the eye and asks me to do that, to try to leave my country better than I found it. And if we continue with this debt, Karen, it will not be for future generations. And this is not about me. This is about my children and my grandchildren having a future.
Well, Dr. Rowe, thank you so much for joining us and spending so much time with us today. And I do appreciate what you're doing down there. And you hang in there and continue to do the right thing. I know it's tough, and it doesn't sound like there's many people behind you, but there are a lot. As I go out and talk to the people in New Hampshire, and I just spent my time down with the Value Voters and was actually went to the World War II monument yesterday with all of those veterans there, and they appreciate what you're doing. So thank you for your time and your effort.
Well, thanks for you all, and I hope to be in New Hampshire again sometime. I wish I could come this time of the year because, as I say, it's one of the most beautiful places in the world.
Well, maybe we can put you on the schedule for next year.
That sounds great to me.
Okay. Be in touch.
Thanks.
Thank you. We've been talking with Dr. Phil Rowe, who is a congressman from Tennessee, about his plan to improve health care for the state, for the country. And it sounds very, very logical. It's based on some very specifics. No taxes, no mandates, no subsidies, an increase in care, and a decrease in cost. You can't knock that if that's the framework by which you're building this proposal. And Dr. Phil Rowe from Tennessee is trying to get this through. It is a bipartisan bill, or it should be one that is gets bipartisan support. So I encourage you to contact our congresspeople here in Nashua. It is actually Annie Custer, and encourage her to do the right thing. And while you're at it, you might also try contacting our senators and ask them to get work on getting the bills that have been being passed by the by the House to the Senate to get past this budget crisis, this debt crisis, whatever you want to call it. We need to get past it. We need those people to start working on those bills. It's their responsibility of the Senate to cooperate, and they are not. This is Karen Testerman with We Hold These Truths, and we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back on WSMN 1590, Nashua's source for news and talk. This is Karen Testerman with We Hold These Truths, back after a short break on WSMN 1590. We Hold These Truths is sponsored for us by First Principles. And if you want to join the conversation, because I'm sure maybe some of you might get a little heated on the next topic, but if you want to join our conversation, please call us at 816-0019. 816-0019. Before we move on, I do want to give you the phone numbers for Annie Custer. She's at 603-595-2006. 603-595-2006. Kelly Ayotte's office is 880-3335 here in Nashua. And Jean Shaheen in Manchester is 647-7500. 647-7500. Ask our senators to please get do what they can to get this movement going on the government shutdown, because the Senate seems to be sitting on so many of these bills. It's not that the House is not trying to address the system, but it is because the Senate is sitting on them and refuses to deal with them. And so certainly these two senators have been there and are capable of accomplishing things, and we should encourage them to do so. And also asking Annie Custer to sign on to Congressman Rowe's solution might not be a bad idea. I think it is very, very helpful if they do. Now, I spent the week last week, or part of it anyway, in Washington, D.C., attending meetings and going various places. And I, on Saturday, I found out that the World War II, actually it was this Million Man March of vets on Washington, D.C. was going to occur, that they were going to take down the barriers at the World War II monument. So I went over to join in and see, primarily to support our veterans. These are men and women that realize that this fighting for this country is not a Democrat or Republican issue. It's an American issue. As Dr. Rowe said about the health care issue, it is not a Democrat or Republican cancer that you get. It is not a Democrat or Republican tooth that you need to have pulled. It is a personal responsibility or need that you have. And the same is true in serving our country. Our men and women join the military, and for many years now it's been voluntary. Back in World War II, it was not. Those men and women were, many of them did join voluntarily, but many of them were in a draft situation that occurred up through sometime after the Vietnam era. But needless to say, they were part of the calling to this country to fight and secure and make sure that we maintain our constitutional rights, that we maintain our freedoms. This is the only country in the world that operates like we do. And we should certainly owe it to these men and women who have given, these are the survivors. They've lost their friends. They've maybe some of them have lost their limbs. Many of them were in wheelchairs. Some of them are suffering from wounds that you and I will never know about or see. You know, those could be anything from nightly nightmares to some physical ailment or mental ailment that they won't share with you, because they are proud men and women who pick up, you know, life hands you lemons, so they go out and they make lemonade. And These were, and I can't tell you the number of women that there were there with their husbands that were supporting them and making sure that others knew the sacrifice that they did. There were people who were the descendants of someone wearing their father's hat or their grandfather's hat because they were there to support the activities that these men and women had gone through. Well, certainly there were those who went in and very respectfully, I must say, said to the guards, "We are here to take down these barriers, and you can either arrest me if you want, or you can just stand by passively and allow me to do this." And they did. They took down all of the barriers, put them in a great big stack. Then later on, they marched them one by one. Actually, it took, I think, probably 5 or 6 guys to actually carry one of those barriers, or maybe they weren't that heavy, but still they were carrying them all the way over to the White House to leave them in front of the White House in a stack and maybe barricade the White Barricade. You know, that's what Sarah Palin called it, a barricade. Anyway, to take the barricade back to the White House, I thought that was very appropriate as well. But I have to tell you the most disheartening thing about it all is we have a First Amendment right to gather, to speak, to peacefully assemble. These men and women were peacefully assembling there. They had speakers. They, they had cameras everywhere. And of course, now in today's technology, you never know where that camera's going to be. They've got them on their cell phones, etc. But as I walked up and talked to these men and women and asked them, "What were you doing? Where did you serve? How did you serve?" The stories are so touching. But the one that got to me the most, and I hope I can make it through this, the one that got me the most was the gentleman that just, I walked up and I said, "What did you do and how did you serve?" And he didn't even answer me. He just grabbed me and gave me the biggest hug because he said afterwards, he said, "I can't believe that my country is doing this to me. I gave up all. I my friends, it's wrong. They should not be treating us this way. In truth, this is not how we should be honoring the men and women who have taken times away from their families. And I mean, many times it's hours and days. When my father was in the 442nd, he was gone for years. We didn't see him for years. Well, the only communication we had was the letter that he sent home every once in a while. But and today we have cell phones and you can get on the phone and you can text and you can have instantaneous kind of communication. But these guys didn't all have that. And here he is saying, this is not how we should be respecting our men and women in the military. And I have to tell you, when I saw the police cars start showing up and the sirens going on and so forth, and then when you see the footage, and you probably may not have seen it on national television or on the mainstream media, but the police officers there in full combat gear saying to our men and women, "You can't stand here in front of the White House and you can't pile up the barricades." I'm sorry, that's not right. They were not doing any damage. They were not being destructive. They were cleaning. I mean, I'll bet you the cleanup crews behind those veterans didn't have to pick up a thing because these men are respectful of this country. These men have given their all for this country. And to see this going on is just absolutely disgusting. And even more so, if I were you, I would be getting off of every piece of mainstream media there is except radio. Because the television stations out there aren't covering it. The only television station that was, well, actually CNN was there, but I it's very hard to find any coverage at all on this except through possibly Fox News. This is ridiculous. This is not how we should be militarizing our police force. They are not there to be that. We are facing right now a dictatorship, and either you and I stand up and let our voices be heard, write your letters to the editor, call your congressman, talk to your neighbors, you know, stand up and be counted, because if we don't, we lose this country, and we are on the precipice of losing this country at this point. What can I say? The other thing that I got texted through to me was, you know, some of our mainstream organizations that many times have been helpful to us, but the one in helping us to keep our taxes low, helping us to be aware and keep our congresspeople aware that the people of America do not want their taxes raised and their money be misused and misspent. But then for them to turn around and attack good representatives that we have down in Washington, D.C., who are standing and doing what they believe to be the right thing, these organizations should be holding their head down in shame. You know, we keep saying we shouldn't be attacking one another, and yet when you go out there and you try to have a healthy discussion about something and you get attacked for having that healthy discussion, shame on us. I mean, for allowing people like that to go on. So it's time to start boycotting these things and doing what you know is right and turning off that television if it's not providing you with the right kind of coverage and making you nothing more than a little lemming that follows blindly along. Stand up and be counted. Let your voices be heard. This is our country. This is America. We are not hyphenated Americans. We are Americans, and we need to fight for our country, fight for what's right. And certainly dishonoring our military members in the way that they were doing. I mean, this group went from the World War II Memorial, where they took down the barricades. They marched over peacefully, walked over to the Lincoln Memorial from that. The Lincoln Memorial had, again, barricades up. Now, come on. These are open air memorials. There is nothing there. There's no guard there that has to stand on a regular basis, other than perhaps to say don't climb on top of whatever or don't write on top of something. Certainly, we should have enough respect, personal respect to ourselves, not to go out and mar something like that. But if we're not, then it only takes one person. But to totally barricade the whole place, we're spending more money trying to keep our veterans out, trying to make it uncomfortable for the American people to go and visit and find out about the history of this country and understand the sacrifices that have been given. We're spending more time doing that, more money doing that, than we are getting rid of the debt ceiling or getting rid of the debt that we have. And, you know, I really appreciated Congressman Rowe's very measured, understandable explanation of what's going on. It's just like what we have at home. When you have a budget in front of you, you don't spend what you don't have, and you try very hard to decide how to retire any debt that you might have accrued in a more, shall I say, frivolous time of your existence, when you went out and saw those, when I was in college, I remember doing this. I went out and saw these nice little slippers, and they had those cool little feathers on them, and I went, okay, I'll do it. I splurged. And you know what? At the end of the month, my roommate and I were eating macaroni and cheese for 2 or 3 weeks. We'd go to the store. If we could find any meat, it was usually those little lamb riblets that you could buy for next to nothing. And there was just enough meat on there to make a meal. But if we exploited our budget at one end, we had to be very, very careful to make that dollar go beyond, because at that time we didn't have the credit cards. So it's time that our country got back on track, and it's time that you and I contact our congressional delegation, and not only our locals, but also our national delegation, and tell them it's time. stop spending what we don't have. Start cutting our spending problems and get us back on track. That's where we were. It was a very moving day yesterday. I'm more than happy to share it with anybody that wants to talk to me about it. But this is a great country, and it's unlike any other. And as many have said, you know, we left Cuba, we left Romania, we left all of these other countries. And where did they come? They came to America because we want to have what we have special. In fact, there was one lady at the conference where I was, and she was saying, I'm questioning whether I did the right thing to come here because it's becoming just like what I left. You know, there is no place else. Where do we go if we don't salvage America? Think about it, friends. This is Karen Testerman with We Hold These Truths on WSMN 1590. We will be back on Thursday at 10 o'clock, and I hope you'll join us. This has been a great week. Continue to be proud to be an American and get involved. See you on Thursday.